Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice.
Let your reasonableness be known to
of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare a way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up on high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the city of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. O God comes, he does not keep silence.
Gather.
Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. You who lead Joseph like a flock.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not hereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purpose of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the word.
Sight and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate, who suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Every year, when the third Sunday in Advent comes around, there is a debate among pastors and theologians regarding why it is that St. John the Baptist would send his disciples to Jesus with the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" The debate is centered on this question: was John himself doubting here and looking for reassurance, or does he send his disciples to Jesus because he knows they're doubting and that they need reassurance? The honest answer to that question is that we simply cannot know for sure either way. We cannot see into John's heart. We cannot know his purpose for sending those disciples. Is it possible that he began to have doubts in that dungeon of a prison? John the Baptist doubting? Is that possible? Sure. He was a sinner. Even though our Lord declares him to be the greatest among those born of women, John was still a sinner. And the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John being a sinner means that he could have very well doubted, because sinners doubt. But at the same time, it is very possible that he sends his disciples to Jesus for their sake, not his, because he knows he will soon be killed, and he knows they have doubts and wants them to be reassured. I happen to think that's the more likely explanation, as did most of the early church fathers. But in the end, this debate that happens every year doesn't really matter. What matters is how Jesus responds to John's disciples when they come with that question. "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." This is how our Lord responds to doubt. Not with a scolding for having doubts, not with some kind of exhortation to muster up the strength to overcome those doubts, not with some word about believe just a little harder and get rid of those doubts. Not even with a command to stop doubting. No. He simply comforts those with doubts who have doubts with the good news of who he is and why he has come. He comforts his people. He speaks tenderly to Jerusalem. He cries out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. He is the one who is to come to save doubting sinners and end their warfare, to forgive all their sins and set them free, to be their shepherd who lovingly and graciously gathers them into his arms and carries them in his bosom into his kingdom, which has no end. What a comforting message, especially when we hear some more truth from the prophet Isaiah, namely that all flesh is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God still will stand forever. Your flesh is grass, O sinner. You wither and fade. Those of you who are a little older know how grassy your flesh is and how withery it becomes. You have doubts and insecurities because of your flesh, because you know your sins. You know your failures. You know how often you have gone astray. And sometimes life itself can feel like a prison sentence as suffering and sorrows encompass you on all sides. Even on your happiest days, there is something not quite right, and you know it. There's something amiss, something that always threatens to steal your joy away. You hear the exhortation to rejoice in the Lord always, but you often don't feel like rejoicing at all. Your flesh is grass, O sinner. You wither and fade. You have doubts and insecurities because you know your sins. And so you ask, are you really the one who is to come, Jesus? Can you really save me from this wretchedness? Is your promise of forgiveness, life, and everlasting salvation in your eternal kingdom real? Could it be? Is there something beyond life in this dead and dying world, Jesus? And your Lord responds, not with chastisement or lecture, but with comfort. Yes, I am the one, O sinner. I have come to take on your grassy and withering flesh, that I might live the life you fail to live, and that I might have that flesh to give as a ransom, as full atonement on the cross for all of your sins. I have experienced your suffering and sorrows, your pain and temptations, for I have dwelt in that grassy flesh. I know what you're going through. I am sympathetic and compassionate, but I love you. Hear and see what I have done, O sinner, and what I continue to do for you. Look to the font, he says. See the water there and hear what I promise about it, that you are baptized into my death and resurrection, that you are a dear child of God, and my eternal kingdom is yours. Eternal kingdom. Look to the pastors I send you to be my servants and stewards of the mysteries in the place where you are. Hear what I say through your pastor's mouth, that you are forgiven all your sins and that you are blessed by my name. Look to the holy altar, see the bread and wine, and hear what I promise, that this is my very body and blood given to you to eat and drink for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith. Taste and see that I, your Lord, am good, for my life and peace and joy I give to you, that you might have it for eternity. Oh yes, dear sinner, I am the one who has come to redeem you, and redeem you I have. Your sins are not only forgiven, but forgotten. I have taken them all away with my precious blood, and I will not forsake you. I will be there for you through all your doubts and fears, through the good times and the bad, through the highs and the lows, the mountains and the valleys. For while the grass withers and the flower fades, I, the eternal word of the Father, stand forever. For that grassy flesh that I assumed when I was born into this dead and dying world and gave up for you on the cross, I took back up, glorified and resurrected on the third day, to dwell in flesh forever. And so shall you. Until then, I give you the Holy Word and sacraments, these mysteries, that I might create in you and keep in you the faith that endures forever. Be at peace and know that I am your shepherd, and I will gently guide you to your eternal home. What awesome comfort we receive from our Lord. Whether or not St. John the Baptist was doubting in that prison cell long ago is irrelevant. What is relevant is that the one whose way he came to prepare stands ever ready to comfort doubting sinners with the sure and certain gospel of his perfect life, sacrificial death, and ongoing care for them via the mysteries of his holy word and sacraments. Therefore, O sinners redeemed by Christ the Crucified, although it is often hard, and although you don't ever mean it fully, rejoice in the Lord always. You are forgiven of all your sins. You have eternal life in His kingdom awaiting you, and whatever sufferings and pains you experience in this earthly life, do not even come close to comparing to the glory which awaits you who are beloved children of God. Your Lord wants you to be comforted with this sure and certain truth of His holy gospel. Thus I will say it again, rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the Holy Church, that the glad tidings of her approaching Savior would sustain her in faith, so that in the midst of the evils of this present age, she may patiently await His appearing in glory, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer for Christ, that as they are persecuted, imprisoned, and martyred, they may be kept steadfast in their trials, until they obtain gladness and joy where all sorrow and sighing flee away. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our pastors, that they may faithfully preach good news to us, so that our weak hands may be strengthened, our feeble knees made firm, and our anxious hearts quieted to Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our congregation, that being kept mindful that our judge is standing at the door, we may not grumble against one another, but rejoice in serving each other for Christ's sake. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president and all those in high places of authority amongst us, that they may be guarded from every evil and kept from using their power to oppose God's truth to their eternal harm, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the homeless and the hungry and those who suffer want through unemployment, that they may receive the help that they need, and that we as God's blessed children may live out our calling to serve Christ in them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and suffering, and for all who are sorrowful and mourn, especially David Gursky and Ella Shaw, Scott McCollum, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd Duby, James Whiting, Pastor Dan Chambers, Marion Sohn, John Lumberman, John Myers, Cheryl Myers, Pat Howard, Jeff Sherry and Logan Patak, Lyle Cole, and the family of Mike Harrison, who was called home yesterday. That the one who opens the eyes of the blind and makes the lame man leap like a deer may sustain them in their trials with his compassion and grant them healing in accord with his perfect will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who come to Zion's feast today, that as they eat and drink the very body and blood of Christ that was offered up for their ransom, they may be grounded in the truth that they are the redeemed of the Lord, so that they may ever rejoice in his forgiveness and life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the prophets and all faithful saints who spoke in the name of the Lord before us, let us give thanks and praise to God. And for steadfastness in faith, that our hearts might be established to await Christ's coming, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, dear Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, claiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you. body of Christ.
Thank you.
this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Countenance upon you and give you peace.